You have little kids, they come to you. You can't explain certain things. There's background info they need to come to the place where they can comprehend certain kinds of knowledge. Yes? You know, just as a side note, it is also why when I hear some people say some things, there are people that come and say, God showed this to me. And I'm like, yeah. And there's some hesitation. And I say, okay, just keep it to yourself for now, okay? Because I look and I'm like, did you just say you put the roof on the house? You haven't even got to the window level yet. I'm not saying God may not show things to babes and sucklings. The Bible contains a provision. But those babes and sucklings had been with him for, had been with Jesus, yes? For some time, yes? Their attitude was the attitude of children. And that's why he showed it to them. It was their attitude. They were young too, in age, literally. They weren't young in desire for God. They were young in age. The disciples, we've shared that. But they had been with him. They had sat at his feet. They had learned of him. They had carried his yoke, which also referred to his explanations, his interpretation of things. They had been willing to drop their previous thinking taught to them by the Pharisees and others. And they had taken the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus. So when he went on to explain things more and more clearly to them, they got happy and happy. And by the time he was close to dying, the night before he died, he said something to them. Do you remember? And they said, Master, now you speak clearly. And he said, do you understand now? And then he went on to promise. He had already promised, I'll send the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. Do you know the simple implication of that is that there are more things to be understood after the death of Jesus than before it? You're mulling on what I said, right? I just told you a story. It should help you. Don't make me open it. Go and read it yourself. Jesus said, read between the book of John, read from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 17. You'll see different things, but amongst the things you see there is Jesus saying to his disciples something, and they respond and say, Master, now you're speaking plainly and no longer in parables. But you know in Matthew 13 that he didn't necessarily speak to them in parables. You know in Matthew 5, you know all over the Bible, that he was more clear to them. But you also know that he didn't tell them many things. How? The Bible says, Jesus said to them, there are many things which I have to tell you, but you cannot bear it at this time. I cannot put roof beams and rafters and a roof on these three levels of blocks. You can't carry it. I need to reinforce your foundation. I need to put multiple layers of knowledge and increase till you can bear. I need to put up pillars. I need people at strategic places in your life. Then I can load you with this kind of information. Why do you think many things, like we said on Friday, will be revealed in Scripture these last days? Even just like what I just said, that were not revealed before. Because the church couldn't even bear some of those things. Even though I repeat, many of those things were known by the early church. They may have not connected all the dots. Paul was a major person that began to have great insight through the Holy Spirit, more than Peter, who walked with Jesus. Don't you know that? Have you not read the books of Peter, where Peter said that Paul has many things that he says that are hard to be understood? Go and read. There are two tiny books. I won't tell you which book it is. There's first book of Peter and second book of Peter. You know how to grow as a Christian? Go back today. Don't go and watch TV. Don't go and waste time. Enter your room. Carry your food. Keep next to you if you must. Lift up your legs. Twiddle your toes. And be flipping through first Peter. And finish it in 1 hour or less. And finish second. You will find what I said there. And he says, of this guy that never followed Jesus, that the guy has written many things that are hard, difficult and hard to be understood. How did Paul get them? Paul tells us, by revelation. Because Paul learned how to tap into the duty of the Holy Spirit, who was to teach us all things. And he prayed in tongues more than them all, it would appear. And the Holy Spirit showed him and said, you, it's like you believe maybe more than the people that were with him. He said, oh yeah, sit down, take down. And gave him understanding. And Paul could astound Peter, amaze Peter. But Peter did not say he did not understand. He said that ignorant and unlearned men twist Paul's saying. I don't know if there's any other provision in the Bible where one apostle is busy explaining things for another apostle like this. Peter, which other evidence? I have heard with my ears pastors stand and counter Paul and say, don't mind Paul, because they could not understand something Paul said. Instead of saying, well, I don't understand. Do you know what Peter called the words of Paul? He said that, let me quote it as best as I can. They twist the words of Paul because of their ignorance and lack of learning, like they twist other scriptures. The operative word there is other scriptures. What does that imply? That Paul's words were scripture. Have you heard me? Paul's words were scripture. And Peter recognized it while he was still alive. Paul may have not come out directly and said, my words are scripture. Peter did. He should have said, they twist it like they twist scripture. He said, other scripture. Who are you 2,000 years later to stand up and say, don't mind Paul? You must have guts. Say, don't mind myself. I am ignorant and unlearned. Then go get learned. And how do you get learned? These things are written for your learning. So we must spend a lot of time reading these things, these books, these words. And then we must pray against ignorance. When you twist it to your own destruction, the Bible says. It's not just reading the Bible, it is understanding it. And the teacher of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things, not man. So when you see a man teaching you, do you know how many men teach without the Holy Spirit, saying their own words? It's not true because the person has a gifting. That person does not know his or her gifting or calling. And because of that, they will say and do things that do not give honor or help to God's purposes. Let's finish with the daughters of Zelophehad. Verse 5. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. Hey, how do you feel about that statement? Does this sound like the God you have been told about? God said the inheritance. He said everything. And did not mention anything about a man with daughters and no son. And the women show up. And God answers straight. What the daughters of Zelophehad have said is right. God will always make provision for those who ask. How does Jeremiah 23 say? If you seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all your heart. Add that caveat. Add that point to everything else you had before. You've heard we've said, if you ask, call on me and all that. What happens when you're calling and you're not calling with all your heart? What happens? What happens when your heart is biased? What happens if you have your own goal you're looking for and you go to God and say, God, please answer me? You may not find him because you're not seeking with all your heart. You have an idol. You have your thing. And God sees the heart. Men look at the outward. God looks at the heart. And God looks straight to that heart and says, this heart is not seeking me fully. I will not answer you. We've looked at Ezekiel 14 before. If you haven't, go and read the book of Ezekiel 14. It tells you that you come to God with an idol in your heart, something that you honor more than God and desire above God. He said he will answer you according to the multitude of idols in your heart. And then he will turn and punish you and the prophets that answered you according to that your desire. I told you, it's one of the scariest scriptures in existence. When God does man, 419, you come with your idol in your heart. He says, fine. So you are trying. The Bible says, if the prophet is deceived, I have deceived him. If you don't understand many other things, you read that kind of places in the Bible, you say, what is this? What is this? You just walk away from everything. But if you understand that God says to the crooked, I will show myself shrewd. And I said crooked and shrewd are big words, yes? So I prefer 419. You do 419 with me, I'll do 419 with you. And we gave examples. Balaam, God told him go. And then God sent an angel to kill him. Ahab, the spirit came from the presence of God. Have you read it before? He sent a spirit to deceive Ahab, to think he was doing the right thing, and just to kill Ahab. If you don't understand God, you say, no, no, no. So are you saying God lies? God cannot lie. But that spirit that showed up in God's presence said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. And God said, God, your God said, go and prosper. First book of Kings, the last chapter. This is the God that many people have very limited ideas about. God is not a man. He doesn't lie. God does not lie. You cannot stop lying spirits from lying. Don't mix them up. Even Satan must serve the Lord. You don't know. God is the God of the whole earth. He's above all things. He's the Almighty. Listen to chapter 22 of 1 Kings. I'm going to read a few verses. I've told you the story already. Let me tell you a summary of the first three verses. Ahab wants to go. Jehoshaphat replies him in verse 5. First seek the counsel of the Lord. Verse 6. Listen to this. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets. Who did he bring? Are you looking at your own Bibles? Does anyone see Baal there? Do you see prophets of Baal anywhere there? Do you know in chapter 17 and 18 that Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal? If they were prophets of Baal, there's no place in the Bible that prophets of Baal are not called prophets of Baal. They don't call them the prophets. Let's backtrack. What did Jehoshaphat tell the king of Israel? First, seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets. So which prophets should this be? The prophets of the Lord, men of God. About 400. Quantity is better, yes? Did you say yes? You know, there were 600,000 men above the age of 20 that left Egypt with Joshua. 600,000. The Bible says so. By the time they got to the edge of the promised land, a year and some months had passed. Those guys, after sending 12 men out to spy the land, and they came back, two men said, let us take the land. 10 men plus a lot of the crowd said, let us go back to Egypt. Let us stone these two men. Why are they having a dissenting opinion? If God didn't show up at that moment, it was over. They would have died. Joshua and Caleb would have died. Years later, only Joshua and Caleb made it. It's not, the race is not for the swift. It's not about who seems to be foremost in making noise. It is never about who is making the loudest noise or who seems to be lead. It's not about the number. It's never about the quantity. It has never been. Jesus had 12 apostles and 3 core apostles and had a few others. That's all he needed. He has controlled the world since he was born. Do you know? Officially, Jesus is dead, Abby. The influence of Christianity is on every nation. It's not about how it starts. It's about who is with you. Years later, it was only Joshua and Caleb left. Every other soul was dead that was in that age bracket. All gone. 400 men. And he asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? That is there no other person additional? Is there no longer any other one that we can inquire? The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one prophet. There is one we left out of the 400. We don't like inviting him for things. Why? But I hate him. Listen, there's still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord. Did you hear that? There's still one that we can also inquire of the Lord from. But I hate him. Are you seeing how that works? I hate him. Why? He gives false prophecy. He's wicked. He's been killing people in secret. He's into all sorts of things. I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. The Lord speaks to him, but what he says won't be up my alley. I don't like it. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say such a thing, Jehoshaphat replied. In case you don't understand, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Ahab was the king of Israel. They were sister nations next to each other, split out of Israel originally. Now, Ahab's side was called Israel. Judah's side was called, the other side was called Judah. Jehoshaphat was of lineage of David. This Ahab and Kul were all just random people that kept being king. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. So you can see he was compelled by another king to listen to this guy's counsel. Dressed in their royal robes, the kings of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Are you hearing? Do you understand? Turn by turn. Yes? Next. God told me, your excellencies, the Lord told me, I saw, thank you, collect your brown envelope. Next, thus saith the Lord, depending on your style, you understand, 400 of them, 400. See, I know this might be funny to you because of maybe the way I'm illustrating, but my heart is afraid. Often for the church of God. How can 400 people be wrong? Why? 400? Not 10, not 50, not 100. 400. Then there's one. Remember, you see this book? Take this book seriously. I'm coming back to how we started. It's all about how we treat this book. You joke with this book at your peril. This book. One day, you read how Christians are so sweet. Christians are just sweet. You know, you read something and then you look for your interpretation. The Bible tells in Revelation chapter 20 that the books were open. And we get all complicated and say, you know, in heaven there are these books. Just stop. These are the books. What are we reading right now? The first book of Kings. Then there's a second book of Kings. This is not a book. This is a library. These are books. Have you heard me? These are the books of the Bible. It's not a book because it's bound as one. These are books. Yes, we are used to saying the Bible. Please, can you just carry it in your mind that these are how many books? 66 books. I showed you on the candlestick. There are 66 knops. Your King James says it means petals of the almond plant on that thing. They are exactly 66. It is not error. Take that golden menorah. Take it from the stalk to this side. They are 39. Take it from this side. They are 27. What does that tell you? The Old Testament has 39 books. The New Testament has... You think that's a mistake? There is no error with God. God knew in advance when he made them make the golden menorah that the day would come when there would even be an argument. How many books should there be in the Bible? For now, clearly, 66. Those 66 books are the lamp of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to know how to walk? You want to see clearly and not err? You better look at the words of this book. This book contains the counsel of God. 40 different people contributed to its writing, like the different people mentioned. Not less than 40. There might be a few more. The book of Psalms is not just by David. You know that? The Bible tells you in the New Testament, Peter tells you, and I can tell you, Peter hung out with Jesus before and after his death. Peter was with Jesus, and he told them things of the kingdom. So take the books that they wrote after Jesus rose from the dead. Take those things seriously. They were with him for 40 days after he rose. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically what he told them, but you can guess some of it from the letters they wrote. In those books, he says that the scriptures were written as holy men were moved by God. These words here were not given for you to despise. The books that will be used to judge mankind are these books. How do I know? Why am I so sure? Because Jesus said, you think I will judge you? These words which I speak will judge you on the last day. And these are the words. My words, they are spirit and life. These are the words. Those words have been compiled in books. These words will judge us. Don't ever joke with these words. You look at anything in this book, you feel in an argumentative state. You know, I heard Pastor Banky say something, and I'm trying, I don't know if I've learned it well. Because, you know, I used to think everyone thinks like me from many years ago, and it got me into a lot of trouble. I'll think, I'll read my Bible and come across something, you know, go back and forth, confirm, you know, two or three witnesses. And sometimes I have so many witnesses. And then my thinking would be that if I share this with anyone, they'll be all excited. Wow. And hit someone, you know, like, hey, did you see, have you seen this before? And they're like, I don't believe that. I've never heard that one before. I'm like, no, but while I'm still thinking, the person just needs to be convinced by being shown the evidence. The person has started quarreling. Someone is really angry with you. No, but, and you know, sometimes, go, you think you never. And I'll be like, gee, God, I didn't even know the person was even feeling. If I had known that, I would have stopped. I wasn't looking for trouble. Brother, I am learning. But what Pastor Banky said that interested me, he said, if he's talking with someone on the surface and the person expresses interest in understanding what is being said, he will keep talking and go deeper. If the person starts fighting him, he will keep quiet. And the reason he gave is a loving reason. He said, so the person will not get into trouble because of talking with the person, you know, the person may end up saying what they shouldn't say. You know, he can be found to be fighting God. And the person, so he, you know, and I admired him for, you know, he showed me a little of his heart. Said he would stop. He wouldn't talk with the person about it. So that the person wouldn't have to say more either. And that's, you know, I heard that some, when I used to listen to him, I haven't heard him really for years, you know. But, and I was like, wow, that's so true. That's so true. Out of love. And I hopefully, from that time, I try only to engage hunger. Do you get? Do you understand what I mean by engaging hunger? Like someone says something and wants to know. That is it, sincere. But if the person just wants, I'll be like, except it's someone I'm responsible for. Maybe my family member. I mean close. I don't even mean my siblings. Grown up people that have. I mean young people or my spouse. My own children. My own direct family. Then I'll tell you, come. See, the Bible says this. Have you seen it? Then I'll encourage them. You know how we do here. I will encourage you to attack it. Disagree with it. Like the daughters of Zelophehad that we are just reading. You might be right. There might be something I have not seen. Okay. Oh, it's true. You know, before she traveled, Anne came to, what did she talk to me about? You know that thing about that Isaac was not, how many of you have heard all your life, possibly, that Isaac planted in famine and reaped 100-fold? Like there's famine here. He planted in here and reaped 100-fold. Have you heard it? Hans? Good. All my life. But you've heard me talk about that before. And I said, no, he did not plant where there was famine. No. But everybody knows that he planted in famine. No, he planted in Gerar. Famine was not in Gerar. Famine was in Canaan. He had moved to Gerar and was on his way to Egypt. And God appeared. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land I will show you. I will bless you. And the Bible says, and Isaac stayed in Gerar. There are three places in that story, not two. If there are only two places, he planted in famine. No, he planted in Gerar. It's clear. Go and read it. Genesis 26. Don't read it now. Note it down. Go and read the first six chapters. Tells you the whole story. So Anne saw something. How did she see it? By reading from chapter 12, from chapter 16 down to 20. And you know, I love that kind of thing. Not for the discussion. And I started saying, I started wondering, is it possible? And we now went through. How many chapters? Plenty. We went through. We drew diagrams. We were sitting here. So we drew diagrams of the different places. Kadesh, this one, this city. And Abraham went here. So we even tried to, and they said, this one is to the east of here. This, and we did all that. And when we finished, and she now says, true. No anger, no unhappiness. Now she's fully convinced, right? Even I had not studied it to that degree. But because, like what we are reading in Numbers, Moses did, you come and then he will go and ask God. Even though that one is not that I left to ask God, we just sat there and studied it together. She said, sir, but it seems, you know, was that Gerah, there was famine there. And now, you know, by the time we finished, she can never be shaken on it. Because she herself, with me, pulled out all the scriptures on it and arrived at a conclusion. Yeah, you see how it was supposed to work? But when we don't care, anything goes. Anything should not go. You know why? Because Jesus promised us that on the last day, his words will judge us. What will we do when you didn't care? And they'll bring out the book that they are going to use and judge you. Hey, I didn't know this one. Oh. Why? Okay, I don't think you say why. You say, yes, that's why my people perish for lack of knowledge. Go left. You know, I was born Roman Catholic. Sorry if you're Roman Catholic. Don't be offended. But if I fear you more than God, I'm not a servant of God. And I used to feel the greatest problem they had then, even as a young child, as I was reading lots of books and all that, I was reading big stuff even as a child because of, you know, trying to understand, is it really wrong? I was hearing things against and some rare books. And I realized their greatest problem was putting the scriptures below their teachings and beliefs. It really, and I realized and I say, oh, too bad. Their issue is not, see, they are very sincere Roman Catholics, so super sincere. Some of them, in quotes, they are more devoted. But like we saw on Friday, your zeal minus knowledge results in God's wrath. We saw there that God wants them to be saved, that they have zeal but no knowledge, and therefore his prayer was they should be saved. Having zeal minus knowledge, you're in trouble. God sees my heart. God sees your knowledge or the absence thereof. It's a serious thing. Don't ever joke with ignorance. Ignorance is fatal. Ignorance can cost you your life, spiritual life. It can cost you your soul salvation. Not your spirit salvation, but your soul salvation. It can cost. See, of course, for the Jews, it cost them their spirit salvation. They couldn't accept Jesus because of zeal minus knowledge. And that cost them. But do you know if it stopped there? So for years, I used to feel, growing up in the 80s, up into the 90s, and I used to feel that, you know, if they could get to know the truth or accept. Before I would talk with a Roman Catholic, after we left and all that, you know, even though my dad was still there and everything, I would ask them first, who do you take more seriously, the church or the scriptures? And I used to find it very funny when they would say, it's the Bible, of course. And I'll ask him, is that your priest's opinion? Because I was in front of a priest when he said, who wrote the Bible? Is it not the church? Do you understand what that means? So how can we talk? I can't talk with you. You believe the final authority is the church. I believe the final authority is scripture. We can't engage. Anything I bring up from here, you're going to tell me, that's not what our church says. So you don't regard this. But that person is not wise. If it was now, maybe I would have spoken. I would say, sir or father, you are implying that at the judgment seat of Christ, they are going to call who to stand and give the final speaking? The Pope? Or the Pope will not stand on a line and also answer? The Bible says books were opened. back to 1 Kings. By the time they were sitting there, I told you verse 11, you thought I was joking. Zedekiah, son of Kenana, had made iron horns. Are you hearing? This was one of the guys that appeared to give his own prophecy. He had gone to a welder and they welded horns. He was using prophetic action. This guy was not just talking. Thus said, this guy was like Amy Samuel McPherson. Good lady, but very demonstrative. loves illustrations, maybe like me. I will be more demonstrative in the days ahead. I have to make things. I will put on my... So you remember... I'm serious. When I have money, you have to have what they call props, so you can remember it instead of just drawing on the board. And he declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. You understand? You know what goring is? A cow gores with horns, uses his horns or bull and pierces something. So that's what he was demonstrating. The Lord says. You know, you look at this and you're like, so all of them were acting. No, they were not. They were not. That's what makes it scary. That's why this story is horrendous. When we were worshiping, you remember that song? Yahweh, Yahweh, you are terrible. The things I said, so terrible. The Bible tells you that the Lord does terrible things in righteousness, okay? The Bible says so. He does terrible things in righteousness. So I was afraid when we were singing, we were thinking, what do you mean by you are terrible? No, the Bible says so. He does terrible things. He can do amazing things. Maybe today we'd say amazing. Let's keep reading. All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, listen to this. Listen to what they told the one uninvited prophet. Look, the other prophets without exception are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. Are you hearing? But Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or not? This guy, you think I'm mischievous? Listen to this guy. Attack and be victorious, he answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. Now listen to what should shock you. Listen, you know, I used to think, God, please now reveal things to people. People don't know. I used to think that every problem there is, that is because people do not know. Read. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Are you scared? Are you scared of the human heart? The human heart is a horrible thing. Or maybe the guy did his face. Maybe he changed his voice and said, attack, be victorious. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did. But the man said what everybody else is saying. And the king rebuked him. And said, he didn't say, come on, tell me. He said, how many times have I told you? Is this not the man, O king, that you said you don't like because he doesn't say what you like? That means, O king, you have always wanted to hear what you like. You have never wanted to hear the truth. Are you seeing when we say God will be to you how you want him to be? Wait, let's read the next line. You see God doing 419. Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king interrupted. He couldn't endure anymore. He said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good about me, but only bad? How many of you feel like saying, Ahab, which one do you want? Like, oh God, wait till you want, Sefi. Wait till you want. You know when God first showed me this kind of things? 1999. What year is this? This is 2017, right? Almost 20 years ago. You know, I had never heard anyone. You know, I couldn't. I read Ezekiel first, and then he confirmed it with these stories and others. I had never heard anyone say or do anything like this. Listen to this. Micaiah continued. If Micaiah did not continue, we would not know what really happened. You would have just stopped there. But it's very important that you know what happened. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Where was Ahab and Jehoshaphat? Sitting on their thrones, right? You know, there are kings. Then there's the king of kings. This fellow is informing them, for a big chair. I saw someone bigger than you guys sitting on his own big chair. Ah, there's a big person. Fear him. Fear him. Fear him. Fear that one. See, let me tell you a story in advance. Before the day was over, this person he was talking to was dead. That evening, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. This king on earth was surrounded by who? Was surrounded by prophets standing around him, right? Telling him what he wants to hear. God had his own people. You know, when God shows you himself in his own dimension, from his own realm, you know what happens? You can't see people again. You know, and people wonder, how can you not be recognized? You can't see them. You're seeing beyond them. They could be in front of you, looking at you. But see, a king on a throne, you're seeing the king on his throne. You know, Elijah was the same. He's standing before Ahab, and he goes, as the Lord God before whom I stand. Do you understand what that means? Are you understanding now what that passage means? Wait, you're standing in front of a king and saying, as surely as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, he shall not reign. That means, you see you? I can't see you. I don't see you. I don't take orders from you. You are the king of Israel. Well, I'm good. As surely as God lives before my stand, because as he's standing there, he's probably seeing the Lord. So he's not speaking from... It would appear that this Micaiah had a habit of seeing the Lord. It affected... Do you know what you see will affect your speech? What your heart is full of will come out of your mouth? Oh, yes. You want to know what is in your heart? Check your mouth. Don't look up and down. Look at your mouth. That's in your heart. If it's coming out, it's there. It's not complicated. You know, oh God, please search me, try me, know my heart. Stop. Pray that prayer every time. In fact, when you pray those kinds of prayer, God will something happen. Then what comes out of your mouth is a sign of what's in your heart. Don't stop looking for too many ways to understand God. He has given us all the answers. Who is it that said that thing? Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, it was Jesus. I wonder if he was lying. I doubt it. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this. Who would have thought that God sits in council and takes contributions? Would you have thought it? But is this it? Do you know the Bible says, Jeremiah, he said, if they had stood in my council, they would have turned these people from their sin. You want to turn people from their sin? Stand in his counsel. You want to not turn anyone from his sin? Remain in your own counsel and watch what will happen. You want to know if people are standing in God's counsel? Are people turning from their sin? Go and look for it. It's in Jeremiah. Micaiah stood in God's counsel. That's all. In God's counsel. Jeremiah had the same problem. They didn't stand in God's counsel and they were busy fighting him. And it cost them a lot. Let me finish this reading. One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward. Are you hearing? A spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. Just like the prophets were appearing here one by one. Spirits were appearing before the Lord one by one. By what means, the Lord said. You know, most things you see on earth are a replica of things in the spirit realm. Just a replica. Like, we just copy many of the things that I see. We don't even know that we are replicating those things. By what means, Lord asked, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. Are you seeing someone's job description? He said all. One spirit. He didn't say we will go out. He said, I will go out. I, just me. Because the spiritual things are not like physical things. Do you know this is how I knew? many times people can prophesy under the anointing, that the issue is not the anointing. Are you telling me these 400 guys were not feeling anything? Are you saying the spirit was not involved? There was a spirit involved. These guys felt something come on them. And something was inspired to them by a deceiving spirit. Are you afraid of God yet? You're not afraid yet. You will be. Not today. I won't. How many? I have 7 such examples. 7 places minimum. 6 or 7 in the Bible that say the same kind of thing. God showed this to me in the 90s. It changed my life. I could never be moved by numbers and by exciting things. I was like, I beg. Nobody showed me. I saw Ezekiel 14. I was in a bus on my way to a Christian program, conference. I almost fell out of the bus. It was moving. When God said he would deceive a prophet, that when you go to that prophet, the prophet will prophesy according to the idol in your own heart. That means as you're coming, you will see what the person wants to hear and answer, and the kind of answer he wants to hear. And you will tell him. That's why all of you with all your prophetic giftings, be very careful. You know, I'm constantly... Have you noticed how often we mention these things? Because I'm warning you. You know, we have very many prophetic people in this congregation. Very many. They see all sorts of things. Till today. Even all the ones that God has proven many times. I'm still checking what you say. You say it. I'm like, okay. I ask another person, yes? Okay, another person, yes? Okay, another person, yes? You won't see me jump on and say, yes, yes! No, you never see me exactly like that. Many times, God confirms to me clearly that it was him, yes. The fact that the person accurately read what your issue is does not mean... Do you know what happens to people? Let me tell you, just straight. They pick that you want a husband. They are happy. Yes, I got it, that they want a husband. I can see you want a husband. And then they add, God is saying... You know, the fact that they got that you want a husband, or I can see you, he broke your heart. Do you know what will happen to the normal human heart? You came there with the mindset that, God, you can see my heart is broken. God, please, you need to give me someone else, or give me back that person, or give me another person. That's your idol. You didn't come to ask God, what's your will for me? You came to say, God, give me a Mecca. So you walk in and you hear, I can see someone broke your heart. But I can see another man. He's fair and tall. They are describing Emeka. Listen. Take notes. Your idol, the idol you carry in your heart is Emeka. They are seeing it. I know this should worry you. It worried me. It's still worrying me. You know, is there any need to continue? You see, God has shown me that Emeka is my husband. Abby, the prophet has concluded it. They see a Mecca with a green light behind his head. Wing, 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 wing. Green, I can see green. Carigo, you're gone. You just presume. That's why you can't use only one thing to confirm God's counsel. And you should be careful about not having idols in your heart. You should have this attitude that says, Lord, not my will, but yours. That's when God will show the green light behind a Mecca, and then he will show the prophetic person that the green light changed to red and exploded. And Emeka became a wild animal. Then you be like, okay, is that how he stopped? Yes, that means go and wait first. Your heart just broke. You want to jump into another one? No. Go and heal your heart first. Go and get healed. Don't find a man and afflict him with your broken heart now. You're going to cause damage. So, you must form the habit as a prophetic person. You must form the habit of not stopping. Don't just get all excited. Yes, I have a word. I had a relation. Is this so? Is this so? Hey, you're all happy. The person is looking at you. Wow. You're prophetic. Wow. That's all. That's how to become a false prophet. You think being a false prophet means you must do juju? That's what you think. You're about to misrepresent God. You're too excited about getting words. You're not excited enough about delivering the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is not just speaking facts in the spirit. The word of the Lord goes beyond to express God's mind and desire. Not just what God knows. God knows everything. God knows everything. It's nothing for him to tell you your history back 200 years. Your great-great-great-grandparents. That's not difficult for him. Don't you know the demons that were around then following your great-grandfather are still around? You think they entered his grave and died? What does it take for them to tell you what happened then? Nothing. You just need someone that can pick things in the spirit. How do you think all these native doctors and people with spirits of divination operate? They are super accurate. I was reading about some woman that delivered from something, Pachita. I'll not tell the story today. As you walk in, you tell you what is wrong with you. Takes an egg in Mexico. And is doing it in the name of Jesus and the Lord. And will just rub the egg over your head. Everything specific. You have a tumor in your head. There's this broken here. You couldn't be more precise. Faster than any machine man has created. And more specific. There are two bones in your vertebrae broken instantly. And then she'll carry out psychic surgery. Have you heard it before? Psychic surgery. Pick a knife like this. Bam, one knife. There's an altar. There's a statue of Jesus. A cross. There's candles. They'll off the light. Her eyes, when that spirit, Hermanito, possesses her, she closes her eyes. Her name is Pachita. Nice lady. Once that Hermanito enters her, he says the spirit of a healer that died years ago. She closes her eyes. But she's doing like this. But her eyes are tight shut. Picks a knife. You have a tumor. Move the tumor. But everything, your back, is impossible medically. It's impossible. You can't go into someone's vertebral column and pull out damaged disc and put it. What about the spinal cord? She pulls it out. With a knife. One is one knife. The people feel no pain, no anesthesia. They feel nothing. The American woman that was training under her till God delivered her and saved her said she saw hundreds of these things with her eyes. Many people saw. They came from around the world. And she wouldn't charge money. Only with time, you give a very small amount. Then with time, her children began to say, please, you people have to pay something. But just ordinary people living in a dirty place said she could never, in her wildest imagination, believe there's any such thing. Miracle after miracle. There's a medical doctor that was an inventor, came, was standing there. They involved him. He wrote a report, said he saw it all with his eyes. An authority. This was in the 70s. Must have started in the 50s, 60s. That woman died around 1979. The things she had done. But it was Satan. Unfortunately, when they are doing, she'll tell, as she's doing the surgery, saying, children, pray, pray. They are praying. They are saying, oh, ask in the name of the Lord. When you go and ask in the name of the Lord. Say this, say that. Don't worry, we'll talk about these kinds of things, brother Sunday. Don't joke with the devil. That book is called The Beautiful Side of Evil. Don't joke with Satan. There's a real Satan, real. He can counterfeit anything, almost. Before she even got to this level, she went into stone. She grew up, she had a grandmother also that had died that was into this kind of thing. So it jumped on her. So from childhood, she used to have supernatural experiences. And she used to be afraid. So she wanted to overcome it. So she had learned things and they said, get to know your inner guide. And her inner guide, she said, you need to pick someone you want to be your inner guide. And she said, who is wiser than Jesus? So she said, Jesus, I want you to be my inner guide. So the person she saw, she would see it, was Jesus. She says, Jesus, you know, and all that. Then the second time she saw him, he would be Jesus, white, nice looking like Jesus. Then you change to a werewolf with blood dripping from his fangs. And then he'd be flashing back and forth. And she'd be so afraid. Why are you doing? And then the spirit told her, I am Jesus. But I want you to get used to not being afraid of anything. How many of you know that's a lie? That's evil. And when she got born again, she was a tough girl. She went back. She saw for years. She went back and saw it and said, in the name of Jesus, reveal yourself for what you are. That thing exploded and became, the whole thing crumbled. became what it was, just some evil spirit. You couldn't fake again. Do you know the Bible says that in the last days, that especially, they have always been, that lying spirits and deceiving spirits. Have you heard 1 Thessalonians? I call his name because he's the best example. T.B. Joshua is not of God. I have told you. You know, one of the last times I mentioned T.B. Joshua's name here. Yeah, I was preaching. I've told you, whenever it comes on me like that, there's somebody. I don't know. Thank God I never know who. I'll just be talking it. I'll just say it. I don't know what's wrong with children of God. I don't know. I'm not going to waste time today talking about it. As I told you, as we left here, the next day, someone sent me a text. One, she's not so new, but I mean, you would think everyone knew. And sent me a text saying, I had a dream. I don't know if she had it before, but I saw my family house. They live in Port Harcourt. Saw my family house. It was scattered. And I saw my brother was in prison. Everything was in a mess. And then mom said that her father had gone to T.B. Joshua. She had gone to Lagos and gotten that water and stuff and all that. Because he had been sick for years. He doesn't attend the church. One elder in one church. But you know how it is. When things are hard and you can't trust or wait. Or instead say, if I perish, I perish. You compromise. You run up and down. They use you for show. T.B. Joshua is not of God. I don't know what you think about it. Maybe today I'll stop at some point and you ask questions. He's not. Don't. But go and ask. Do you know the easiest way? Go and ask God. And be serious and let your heart be clean. He'll tell you. But in between, I can give you a few pointers. Even if someone were to tell you, wait, someone fetches water from a little stream in his backyard and sells for thousands of naira. What's wrong with you? Someone says, take my picture, put on your wall. What do you need to know again? Someone says, my signature on a poster pasted on your wall will bring good. Are you a native doctor? I've told you, Banky was saying, TB just that he was like that since school. You come to him, you bring pen, you do incantation on pen and all that. Pay, you use that pen and write exams. How is that God? He didn't start now. He has been like that since. And then you see people that know what he is have come out and said, this man, in secret, is not good. You know, I knew that story for years. I watched that video. And then later on, people said, the people came and confessed. I said, you don't know why they came and changed what they were saying? You haven't heard Chris Okotie. Minus any issues he may have. He's a big preacher. He was in front of commissioner of police. Go and look for it. It was open. It wasn't hidden. He said that after they had their issues, where he came out and spoke against T.B. Joshua, T.B. Joshua appeared in his room. And he shouted in Jesus' name. He was so shocked. He appeared. Chris Okotie doesn't see into the prophetic realm like that. The guy appeared. Physical. He appeared in his room. Bing, at night. And he shouted in Jesus' name. And the guy, boom, something hit the guy on the wall. And then he disappeared. And it's recently I heard that's how he does. He appears in people's room. How is that hard? What is there? A friend of mine, he's a medical doctor in this Uyo, some big man. He told me they had a houseboy that used to do magic. Carry a bezel, keep, put water, and disappear in front of his eyes. And reappear with something from India. He's not saying someone told him that someone, he was telling me face to face. He's a Christian. He has no business telling such a lie. You think power, you know people, every power, you saw power. What is power? Read your Bible. Power. Power. May power not kill you. There's the power of Satan. Simon the sorcerer was called what? The great power of God. In Samaria, his name was the great power of God. In my village years ago, there used to be, I think I saw it in Uyo too, a signboard. The mighty hand of God ministry. Years ago, very long, 20 something years ago, I used to imagine. And people flocked there. And they would say, this woman, there was a woman in our church in the village, those years, Catholic woman. She would come to church. And then people go to her place and do this. Do you know, I was still a young boy, around 20 something. And I went to a village. My dad sent me on an errand. I got to the village. The last time I had gone to the village before that, and I rarely went to the village. It was a long time. We weren't going to the village every year, how we used to go when we were much younger. And as I get in there, someone that had been sick for a long time dies. He dies. He dies that day. He used to be like the finest boy in our compound side, our village side. Tall, handsome, good looking, strong. And this boy, something affects his eyes. Probably, I'm almost sure he had a tumor in his head. And the thing was pressing on the optic nerve. So his eyes started going askew. I don't know. Even if you're not medical, you understand. You know your eyes and everything, that the wiring in your brain controls all these things. If it affects a certain part, you know what you call stroke? It's pressure against certain. So the guy's eyes starts going like that. And he's having... My dad says he will send a car. Let them take that boy to the teaching hospital, Mercy Hospital, Abak, which was known nationally. There were two hospitals like that, one here and one in Kaduna also, or Kano. Everybody came. White people will come there. And they said they are sending to carry that boy there. The day they came there, the mother took the boy and ran away and said it's not hospital thing. Humanity, eh? You know, the day that boy died, because I just got to the village, I know God was trying to teach me something. I had not seen him since I had heard. I would hear about him, you know. Akpan, they used to call him Akpan, you know. And they would take, and they said he's in a church. He's lying in a church. He's here. Took him to one man in this other village, this and that. You know what they'll do? They'll pour oil in your eyes. They'll do all sorts of things. And that boy's eyes had gone damaged. You know, since it's someone I knew, I got to the village. I entered the room he was in. It smelled like rotting flesh. It was perfectly black. No light at all. I think it causes him pain because they said, I never saw him. I was in the room next to him like this with my hands on him, but I never saw him. It was that black. I didn't even see his shape. They said his eyes had come out. You know, the tumor must have grown so big till I pushed out his eyes and he can't endure any light. And the mother was telling me he hasn't drunk water for 5 days. He was making sounds like a bird. See, you know, maybe this is the first time I'm explaining to you guys, because you hear me talking sometimes, I seem so impassioned. You think I'm being dramatic. I'm not being dramatic. God has allowed me to experience things a few here and a few there that has affected how I think and feel. People take very serious things very casually. Don't joke with serious things. That boy, I think God kept him alive all those years just for me to come and see and to hear so the thing will impact my heart. And it kept it like death pangs, right? The sound of death. I went, it was night. I got into village, it was around 6 something. I passed to our house. I saw him before I even got to our own house. By morning, I heard the mother come and say, and she was telling me, my son is dead. Small. I wanted to tell her, you killed him. Who killed him? If that boy needed brain surgery, they would have. Someone sent a car from Muyo to come and pick your child in Bareni. You carry him and run. They agree everything. They arrange. The devil in you that will allow your head work properly. You love him, Abby. You've killed him. After so much pain and sorrow. Why? Foolishness. Wickedness. Of course, can you tell a mother? If I told her she's wicked, would she agree? No. Do you see how dangerous ignorance is? Don't play with ignorance. Don't say, well, God knows I didn't know. No. Don't be ignorant. Your ignorance is too costly. Now, do you know what happens? Fast forward many months, a year later, I go to my village. I told you that story to tell you another story. My dad sends me again. I get to the village. It's evening. While I'm there, afternoon or so, I get there. I hear someone telling my grandmother that they brought so-and-so's son from Lagos. They say it's not a hospital thing. He's dying. I'm there. I'm just hearing. And then I hear him say, this is what God wanted to use and trigger me. I hear him say, they say it's not a hospital thing. They are thinking of maybe taking him. Do you know what comes to my mind? The previous guy. I don't know. I'm not saying it's good. But when I'm in the village, I stay in my father's house. Okay? When I finished secondary school, I stayed in the village for a year, overseeing my father's business in the village. So I knew people around. They would come. My father had a mill, grind cassava, all that. So I would be there. People come to grind cassava. It's a village. So everyone comes. They see me. Ah, how are you? Ah, they talk. Talk to me. Talk to them. I'm amiable. Talk to the younger people more. Play with some. We are just there. I see that I was to collect the money and oversee. The workers used to steal. So I was there. Overseeing things. Just fully in the village. Came back, road jam, went back. But I am not going from house to house. I'm not a typical villager. I didn't grow up in the village. So, and then what am I going to talk about with you? I was born again. I'd gotten born again much earlier. I'm not going to be able to engage. You're around the girls. They are trying to pull you down. That was the first time someone grabbed me by the clothes. I understood Joseph. Not play, oh. I'm not playing, oh. You gotta grab me like this, and she was tall and grab me. I was like, this is not a joke, oh. I couldn't leave anything and run. It was my shot. I think under my heart, I prayed, God help me. I don't know how I did. I held the hand. I pressed it. Oh, that she held this one. Finally, I ran like a child. I was just 17, 16, 16, 17. Any which way. So, but, you know, stuff. So I'm not going to go around going from place to place and all that. I mean, there's temptation. There's trouble. The boys would talk nonsense, say dirty, filthy things. So they just take the light. Some of them used to take the light. They want to see. Male and female, they will look, it's like they are looking at my face, then they say dirty, they want to see how I will. I don't walk around, I'm mixing up, I'm not everywhere. For what? Apart from that, greater than all that, there's sandflies in my village. Do you know sandflies? They are smaller than the dot of a pen. They touch me, my skin swells. When I wake up, I can't start moving around. The weather has to clear. Even the weather is going dim, where I'm from. If clouds cover the sun, sand flies come out. They fear the sun. The sun drives them away. Cloudy weather brings them out. Cloudy, bright afternoon, if the sun goes dark, they've bitten you. So I don't move around. I hide. They'll go between your hair. So my head will be swollen all over. So I stay in the house. As I heard this guy talking to my grandmother, I left the house. It wasn't there. I left straight. I don't know how I can say I'm coming. I went to the place opposite the Catholic church in my village. I went and stood. The room, small room like this. Not too small, but I stood at the door outside. People were hanging from the window. They were everywhere. And that guy was sitting here on a small stool. His mother was sitting with her legs stretched out. Old woman, very bare-chested. Not just tying a small wrapper. And beating her breasts, literally. My son. Did they say I'm the one that wants to kill you? And the boy was sitting here, not neither denying nor affirming. Saying, look as if he's dying. This is what. And then he spit into a bowl. And I'm standing at the door, watching. No grace yet. I didn't know what I went into there. I just was, remember the last time I came to the village, this is how they said this. I hope they won't try that nonsense. I was just there, but I wasn't feeling worked up or anything. God so it is time. Someone opened his mouth. This thing, me, I'll bring money. Let's go and check behind. That was my cue. I said, excuse me. I know it sounds as if I'm this bold. I wasn't like that at all. I'm a small boy. Who am I? Maybe I was about 20 then, by then. I went in, bent down to the sick man and said, who do you want to help you, God or Satan? He said, exactly. I want God. I said, if you follow these people and go out wherever they are saying, that's Satan's hands they're going to. If you say God, I'll pray for you now and you won't go anywhere, have you? Yeah. I got up. He said he wants prayer. He doesn't want to go anywhere. Please, I want to pray for him. One of the men sitting there was my father's teacher. Do the math. Every age, I was a brat. Who are you two? The others, young and old, yes, but you know they want to see spectacle. Hey, witch of a mother. Hey, that's all they want to see. No village now, there's no news, so anything is news. The room cleared. Empty room. And I looked around. I remember scripture, good, two or three. And I tried to be obedient to scripture, the little scripture I knew then. And that's how I saw a guy that I believe attended a living church, at least in that village. I said, please, can you pray with me? Another person came and said, can I join you? I said, no, don't worry. Thank you. You know. They said, two is company, three is a crowd. So, apart from that, it wasn't necessary, and I didn't trust his spirituality. I don't want someone that gets drunk. Come, leave that. So I was nice, and I closed the door. Empty room. It didn't take 5 minutes. That's the first time I saw that kind of thing happen. We started singing, praise, whatever we are singing. This guy, sick man, was wearing this colorful jacket that is very thick, you know, with the high neck, sports, shiny, thick. He unzips it and removes it. Then he unbuttons his shirt and removes it. There's another shirt. Then he unbuttons another shirt and removes it. There's another shirt. This guy was wearing 5 layers of clothing. He was dying of cold in a room full of people where there was no air. There are 2 of us here now and him. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. He removes everything he's wearing and is using his hand and paper to fan himself. 5 minutes, so we... No, you know when I tell you I don't pray long, I don't like long prayer. I like long word. Pray short. God respects his words. People pray endlessly because they don't have God's word. When you faith comes by hearing, not by talking. I told him, I can't remember what I prayed. It must have been very short. All I told him, I said, we've prayed for you. Did you feel? He said, yes. That is instant. You have to know this guy was under demonic. It was demonic. And you fight demonic things with the power of God. There's physical sickness. I agree. God can heal it too. But I prefer a demonic problem to a physical one. Even though God will handle all. Because a demonic one, just bring the power of God to bear. It moves. Put on the light. Darkness flees. But I gave the guy a warning. I said, don't go anywhere. You felt it, Abby? He said, yes. As I was stepping out of the room, those men were on the veranda. And I said, let nobody take him anywhere. If anyone takes him anywhere, they know they are responsible for anything that happens. Oh. And I left. This was late afternoon. Next morning, I heard the same guy telling my grandmother, that guy is dead. Oh. He died in the second place they took him to. Try. You know, I was angry before. I was very angry. Now I'm still angry. This is many years later. I'm still angry. Can you understand why I don't play with the people? He'll kill you. That guy died. After all my warning, that guy died. He couldn't trust God. He felt it. God made sure he felt something supernatural. But he had no grounding. You know why I spend a lot of time teaching and explaining? Because it's not enough to have a tiny encounter with God. Ignorance will do away with you eventually, in spite of whatever encounter you've had with God. The encounter, but he couldn't, because if it's now, maybe I would have stayed with him and opened the Bible and talked. You know, I'm trying to learn. I've been learning, but I didn't know. I thought, power of God has come, it's done. No, it's not done. Sit down and learn the word of God. You will err. You will err. Doesn't matter how powerful the encounter is. If you don't sit down at the feet of God. Have you not heard of Simon, that the sorcerer? He didn't join everything. After that, what happened? Have you not heard? Peter came, wanted Holy Ghost to buy. Said, I can see you're in the bond of iniquity and the gall of bitterness. This guy was following Philip around. Following man of God, carrying his bag. And according to history, it is said that Simon of Magus was still opposing God years later. That he went to Rome and was still doing magic and doing all sorts of things. I don't know how true it is. It's legend, but it might be true. And one day he was saying, see, can you? And he rose into the air. And Peter pointed at him and he fell down and died. It's in historical documents. It might be true. It's not in the Bible. But my point is this. The devil can deceive. The devil doesn't look at you and say, oh, you're too big to be deceived. No, I'll leave you alone. The devil tried to deceive Jesus. So who are you? Deceiving spirits, they'll do all sorts of things. The people they took him to, hadn't they done miracles before? They were known for doing miracles. But Satan looked at him and said, "Chai, small you for escape. I'll kill you." Don't go after things because they seem attractive. Go after them because they are of God. Don't be moved by just what you see. Be moved by what is behind what you're seeing. The words of God are spirit and they are life. If anything contradicts God's words, it's not spirit and life. If it contradicts God's words, it's not spirit and life. It's just our appearance. It won't last.